Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. And as you know, if you've been a regular listener to this show, discussing skills of the mind, well, that is one of my absolutely favorite topics. But do we really know what our capabilities are? Do we understand that we can be more than what we perceive about ourselves to be? Well, my guest today, Eldon Taylor, is a man. We're going to be talking about the research that he's done. His book is called Choices and Illusions. How did I get where I am, and how do I get where I want to be? Eldon, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's indeed my pleasure and honor to be here with you today.
Eldon, studying the human mind has been a passion of yours for all of your life. You've earned more than one doctoral degree in psychology and metaphysics. You are a fellow with the American Psychotherapy Association. You also were ordained as a minister. I found this interesting. You've been a practicing criminalist for over 10 years, and you started this while you were going through your own educational process, and now you're the president and director of Progressive Awareness Research. And before we went on air, you were telling me about all of the recordings that have been made. My goodness, it's almost 1,000 of them that you have.
Keeps me busy. Keeps me humble as well, Donna. You know, in a nutshell, if I may, I was going along very happy, at least thinking I was happy, and successful. I had my new Lincoln Mark V paid for, title in hand. I had my offices in business. I was in a criminalistics business running lie detection and doing investigations and forensic hypnosis and things of that nature. And I had a business on the side where we bought and sold businesses and built businesses. And, you know, I thought I had the world by the tail. I was also going to school at that time, and that's how I was paying for my education. And from the outside, everybody thought I was really successful, but I wasn't happy, and I burned through relationships like, you know, some people change shirts. I was really, you know, inside. I was into what I guess I call today the more mentality, you know, where more power, more money, more, and you never really are appreciating anything that you have. You're just in pursuit of more.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line was, a friend of mine asked me to run a study at the Utah State Prison to see if some of my work might assist in rehabilitating, or at least in interdicting the recidivity rate with these inmates. And I went out to the prison system thinking I know everything. You know, there's a wonderful saying, and I first heard Gerald Jampolsky say it. I guess it comes originally from The Course in Miracles, but it's, we teach what we want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there I was, teaching what I wanted to learn, and those inmates were very willing to teach me.
Oh, yes, I think they're especially skilled at this.
Yes. Well, you know, the bottom line came down to this. We ran all kinds of sophisticated psychometric tests. And they didn't tell us anything that we didn't already know. But in interviews, in conversations, we repeatedly got this story that, you know, all but for the grace of God, there go you.
Mm-hmm.
The world did this to me. What else could I do? I mean, the average reasonable man would do exactly what I did. What we got was a story that, in essence, displaced responsibility through the mechanism of blame. In other
mm-hmm.
words, I'm not responsible. It's not my fault. You see? So it became clear that what we needed to do was interdict this blame game in order to get an inmate to take responsibility for his actions in order to have a chance at rehabilitation. Because, I mean, look, you know, stuff happens. There's no question about that. But you're still in charge of your own choices if you're making intelligent choices and not bouncing like a ping pong ball. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we, and this is way back in the early 80s, went at an interdiction for this inmate population based on three simple messages, a paradigm, if you will, that today we call forgiveness. I forgive myself, I forgive all others, I am forgiven. And you wouldn't believe, or maybe you would, the amount of resistance there was by some to that approach, because there were many that thought, well, you know, if the inmate thinks he's forgiven, he's just going to go do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't how it works. You see, if I can't blame anybody, then I have to take responsibility. And if I take responsibility, then everything that happens in my life, I have control over. So that was the next interesting thing. Until and unless we took responsibility, we handed the controls to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. That's very
true. You know, it's not my fault. They did that. You know, there's nothing I could do about it. It was up to them. And in that mindset, what I found was not only did that interdiction work with the prison system, but we later used it in a number of different places. And today I can tell you that whether it's ending self-destructive patterns, it's a weight loss issue, it's a smoking issue, it is a self-esteem issue, interdicting that blame aspect, our ability to displace this responsibility, this notion that it's okay to get even or to get evener, and all of that stuff, which is what that affirmation set does, and we delivered it through a special technology, but that forgiveness paradigm undoes that, that whether you're a Fortune 500 executive, you're an elite athlete in the Olympics, or you were a prison inmate, we have run the studies, we have done the clinical work. That is a significant paradigm that moves everybody in a positive direction. In fact, it's so important that I guess now about 15 years ago, I came in after a dream to my offices and said, you know, cash talks and that BS walks. And, you know, the bottom line is I believe this so intently that we need to give it away. And at that time, I'd been lecturing on our success with it, the program. It was on a tape at the time, and it was our bestseller because I was lecturing on it. So
mm-hmm.
Some of the people in my office said, you're crazy. But we started giving it away. It has been free ever since then. It's now available on CD. Your listeners can go to my website, choicesandillusions.com, click on the forgiveness box, and either download it free as an MP3 or get a free CD right there.
Wow, okay.
And it makes a huge difference, and it doesn't matter what the issue is. That, you know, it is one of those, if you will, pillars that's absolutely essential to holding up any kind of a structure. And if we're going to have the confidence or the esteem or the ambition, the enthusiasm, motivation, etc., to do as you suggested in the opening, and that is to maximize who we are, to really experience our true potential, we have to have that. We have to be there, because otherwise we've given our power away.
I like the quote that you have right at the very beginning of your book by Albert Einstein. The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift.
How true, how true. Isn't that so?
When I was watching some of the news over the weekend, there was a sense of sadness that I had. And, of course, we are all aware of the situation in Gaza and what's going on there. And having had associations with people of various cultures for so much of my life, I recall being told many years ago by someone whose family member was overseas, and there had been a wedding ceremony, and this group of young people came up, they had machine guns in hand, and they shot up the wedding party. And I remember at the time when I heard that, I thought, what in the world? It sounds like something, you know, out of a mafia movie. Well, I learned from this person that in their culture, hate was cultivated, and that something had happened when they investigated what had prompted the action on the part of these young people. It had been over 20 years before when a man had been shot down by a member of this family. It's like the Clampets and what was the other group that fought each other for years?
Yeah,
You know, it's just amazing how we will perpetuate the hate, and it feeds on itself. And what you're talking about with the forgiveness, and this is my bias, it's just my experience and what I've seen with people, when you don't forgive, you have a master-slave relationship with something that will destroy you on multiple levels. And it doesn't mean you necessarily forget something.
That's right.
But you need to let it go because it will eat at you to such a point that you literally are consumed. And then the blame game comes in, and instead of being responsible for making your life the way you want it to be, you put it off on somebody else. And regrettably, so much of that is encouraged in our society today.
You are so very right. You know, two things, if I may, two things. First, master-slave, let's be clear that the master is the emotion and you are the slave. So if you're holding anger, animosity, you know, any of this get even, any of this, you know, stuff that you know, is the angst and animus that so many cultures and so many people hold today as normal and ordinary, it's the master. And you're just a little puppet on the end of that emotion. And whenever that emotion goes off, maybe it's in 5 o'clock traffic, somebody pulls in front of you, the emotion goes off, it just took control of the strings on you, and you are the slave. And, you know, the second thing is, I started Choices and Illusions out of a lecture. And the lecture was built about just the subject that you're talking about. In an insane world, how do we get sane decisions? How do we get sane choices, you know? We can't go on tit for tat, an eye for an eye. You know, violence begets violence. I mean, there has to come a point where we somehow get minds to turn and make new choices. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, military interdiction is wrong. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying, I mean, coming from law enforcement, I do believe that you want to protect and serve the innocent, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, coming from there, we need law enforcement, we need the military, and they do protect and serve. On the other hand, a continuation of what we see in Gaza right now, and I'm not saying anything about who's justified, is
no.
Simply building more hate on both sides of the equation.
Right.
So until we stop teaching the hate, until we get into a place where we change the context, you know, one of the things that I like to teach people is, in the beginning of the book, Choices and Illusions, I remind everyone of what Krishnamurti said. A choice arises out of confusion. Do I do this or do I do that? That's a state of confusion. If I know clearly what it is that should be done, there is no choice. And in that sense, choice is an illusion. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you think then, most people are deciding between A, B, and C, and there's really an entire alphabet out there. They could choose X, they could choose L or M, but they don't think that way because they've been trained not to think that way. They've been trained that 1 and 1 equals 2. You'd be surprised how many adults nearly faint when I show them that a gallon of water and a gallon of alcohol do not make 2 gallons. You just pour the two together, and they just can't believe that that's the instance. You see, they've been trained that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell the story, you know, somebody comes to your door, Donna, and they knock on your door, and they say, "Hi, Donna, you know, I'm in a scavenger hunt, and if you've got a, you know, 4x7 piece of wood, I can win $10,000, and I'll split it with you." And you think, well, gee, I haven't got a wood pile. Gosh, I'm sorry, Eldon. I can't help you out, and you close your 4x7 wood door. You're trapped in a context. If you think for a minute about the saliva in your mouth, this is a great one. You roll it around, you taste it. It's really important. It tastes good. And without it, doing a radio show is impossible. I'm
true.
Glad I have mine. You're glad you have yours, right?
Absolutely.
Now think of a shot glass in front of you, and you spit that saliva in there. You look at it, and then you put it, drink it right back. Something changes, doesn't it?
Yes, it typically will.
In that glass, the idea of drinking it back is, whoa, wait a minute. But it's exactly the same saliva.
Mm-hmm.
What's changed is the context. What we need to do is teach people on a conditional basis within a context. You know, the context of the violence that's going on right now is just, you know, destroy the Israelis, shove them into the sea, they have no right here, we're just going to keep shelling as long as they live, as long as they're there, versus, you know, we have a right to defend and we're not putting up with this any longer, and that mentality on both sides is dead end.
Mm-hmm.
Goes nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Needs
absolutely.
A referee in the middle. And in that cauldron of thought, and it does begin in the thinking process, in that cauldron steeps all of the world's enmity. If we're going to make any change in it, we have to educate people one at a time into thinking about how these problems can be solved without remaining in the same context. We have to change the context.
And that I've seen across the board from all kinds of cultural backgrounds. I've seen it male, female, doesn't make any difference. I've looked at it, and it is a very sad thing that that seems to be a traditional thinking of mind. That's, you know, just it's what goes along. When someone comes along that says, we're going to stop it here, there has to be another resolution. It has to come from more than one perspective. But usually it takes one person that says, this is not acceptable. This is not going to work. This is how I choose to look at it. I want to invite you to come to the negotiation table. But learning how to trust and learning how to let go of that, if you don't have something to fill it, if you don't have something to fill the void once that particular process of thinking is taken away from you, then if you don't have something to put in its place, you're going to have a loss. And then someone's going to revert right back to whatever was before. It is a patterning of the human mind, in my observation. Heavens, I've been guilty of it. You have to really be consciously present. You'll find yourself reacting to things and go, where'd that come from?
We've all experienced it, Donna. You
every
know,
one of us.
That 5 o'clock traffic thing, you get cut off. If you change the context a little, if you, just in your mind you say, you know, that could be somebody in a real hurry to take a child to the hospital or to pick someone up to rush him to the hospital, everything changes suddenly about your feeling, that little context. You know,
mm-hmm.
I tell a story in Choices and Illusions that I call the flower pot story, you know. And the reason I tell the story is because, as human beings, we've never established the old Star Trek prime directive. You know,
I love that show.
The prime directive that we have in our lives?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, you summarize all the hard research, you know, what you come down to is we should have what I call 3 H's. You know, as our prime directive, whatever our choices are, they should produce happiness for everyone. They should produce health, wellness, and they should be helpful. And the reason they should be helpful is because there's a circularity. When you're helping someone else, the brain is wired, believe it or not, that if you're making a charitable donation, you're writing out a check as a donation, I mean this literally, your brain bathes you in your natural opiates that help you feel good. The brain is wired to do good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by being helpful, we feel better, we are happier, and, of course, those neurochemicals that support our endocrine, immune, and autonomic nervous system are all the good ones that keep us healthy and happy and give us longitude in our lives. So that should be our prime directive. And yet, now if we stop and we look at the bumper stickers on the road, you know, thank God it's Friday, and I don't get even, I get evener, and go ahead and make my day, you know. So here's the flower pot story. You can't cheat. I know you've read it, okay? You're walking down the street one day, beautiful city, first time there, let's say it's New York, and you're just amazed by what a glorious day it is. And as you pass under these high-rise condos, from the third story balcony, a flower pot falls and strikes you on the head. It goes from your head, of course, to the sidewalk, and breaks and charge scatter about as the soil and the plant itself lay there. You look up at that balcony, and you've got some choices. First, you've got an abrasion on your head, and you've got what is the makings of a bump, but you're okay. That is, you know, it's not comfortable, but it didn't injure you seriously. Now, I give these three choices to thousands of people on the air, in person, in conferences, etc. And this is what they come up with. These three choices is what everybody typically comes up with. The first one is, I'm going to take this flower pot upstairs and I'm going to do you know what with it. I'm going to get even. Of course, you get up there and you discover that it's a lineman for the New York Giants. Perhaps you change your mind. I would. Okay? The second one is, you know, I'm going to be an opportunist. I'm suing this sucker. You know, this is damages. You know, it could be whiplash. I mean, what if I'd have been wheeling a baby in a, you know, along here and it fallen on him? You know, I'm suing. Okay? I was talking, by the way, before I go on to a host in Detroit, a radio host in Detroit during drive time, and he said, I'm doing one and two. The third one is, I'm going to be metaphysical. I'm just going to assume, I'm not going to let this ruin my day. You know, I'm just going to go on. You know, it didn't happen. Maybe it did happen for a purpose. I mean, maybe it rearranged some neurons and I'm going to have a special case of enlightenment. But I'm going to let it be, you know, an instance of denial. Not one of those three would meet our human prime directive. The closest one maybe is alas, but that is pure denial. And you know, when I give this scenario to people, not once has anyone offered an answer like this. I could take the flower, repot it, return it to the owner as a gift of love. You know, gee, I'm sorry your flower fell on me. That broke on the sidewalk of my head below, and I wanted to return it to you because it's just too pretty a flower. I hope you like the pot. Can you imagine the look on the person's face if you did that?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Now, when you put your head on the pillow at night, of those four things, which one is going to bring a warm, fuzzy feeling to you?
Well, the last one, of course.
And it is that we should be making all of our choices on. And if we were to just have this clear in front of us, if we were to see how all these mechanisms sabotage our thinking, and we just step through, and that's what the book is about, step through those falsenesses, the false beliefs, that's what I'm trying to say, all of a sudden a whole new horizon, a whole new vista opens up to us, and we have the ability to make the wise choices that would step us out of the conflict, that would step us out of the anger, the animosity, and so forth.
You talk about something in your book that I think is interesting, and it's about reverse speech, the Taylor method. And you have patented, oh my goodness, 105 expressions of this particular method. And I found it really intriguing. Tell us what this is.
Well, you know, years ago, I was running a lie detection examination, and we'd recorded the examination, and it was deceptive, and I was playing the recording backwards, and actually not playing. It was on well, you know, the old cloak and dagger 15/16 ooh hair recorders. If you ever watched, you know, those old movies, you probably saw one, but you don't see many of them around. Anyway, it's a reel-to-reel, and you turn the reels with your fingers when you're backing them up. And,
mm-hmm.
and as the tape was going over the head, right where the subject in this examination had said no to a relevant question, you know, in reverse, it said liar. No, hey, that was too unbelievable. The deceptive chart right here on the relevant question, back it up, it said liar. I had to show it to everybody. At the time, I thought that was interesting, but you just go on. However, as I continued to do my research, what we found was young dyslexics typically are reversing language or reversing, you know, fives, S's, things of that nature. They're reversing language because the right hemisphere where we process language initially, which is not our language hemisphere, mirrors, if you will, holographically to the left hemisphere, and sometimes that's not always complete. So based on that early theory of mine, I started doing some work, and I ultimately found a fellow in Australia that was looking at it differently. He was looking at messages he had discovered, meaningful messages in reverse speech, also using it in law enforcement. And in one instance, as a case in point, there had been an armed robbery. The thieves had been pursued from the premises. They had thrown the money out of the car when they were apprehended. Of course, they didn't have the money. They both refused to admit that they'd had anything to do with it, let alone the money. But in reversing the tape, he got information that essentially said, when the subject was asked, what did you do with the money? I didn't have the money. I didn't see the money. I don't know what you're talking about. When that was reversed, under the bridge, threw it out. So they went over to the only bridge that had been involved in the pursuit, and they found the money under the bridge.
Amazing.
Well, as we continued the work, and you can see some of this on my website, as we continued the work, what we discovered was there are meaningful messages when young children first learn to speak. They go through, and every parent knows this, they go through a stage where they're looking at you, they're speaking intently, it is not goo goo gaga. What they are saying to them seems to make sense, but to you it makes no sense at all. Well, as a parent, if you will record that, play it backwards, slowing it down just a little, usually about 10%, because that helps make it clear, and I demonstrated this over and over again, you'll get these meaningful messages. You know, daddy play, mommy home. They are talking to you. They are giving you meaningful messages, but they have not yet develop the skill or ability to reverse that in what we know as forward speech. Now, if you see then the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere as two mirrors, then you can see that these two mirrors sending information back and forth to each other create what we know as a holograph. And that is precisely how I would create a holograph. In fact, I have such a device in my office, and you can put a quarter or a little dog or something of that nature in it, and it stands above it because the mirrors reflect the light that's entering, and that generates this holograph just right there on top of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what Carl Prebrum and David Bohm back in the 80s theorized was why we couldn't find the place that memory was stored, was that it was stored holographically across the brain entirely.
Well, Prebrum, I'm going to have to stop you.
Out of time.
They are out of time, but by golly, he's got some wonderful stuff on his website. Eldon, what's your website?
The best place to go is choicesanddelusions.com. There are links that will take you to all of these things that we've been talking about there.
And his book is fascinating because it goes into so much more detail on how he's worked with the mind and the results that different people have obtained. And we're going to be doing a special mailing out, so if you want to be a recipient of some of this on the 20th of this month, Eldon, I believe that's when we're going to be doing it.
That's correct.
Then just let us know, and we'll be glad to be in touch with you. But again, it's Choices and Illusions. Eldon Taylor, it's just delightful to have you as a guest.
It's indeed my pleasure. Thank you very much, Donna.
Oh, you're very welcome. And don't forget to go to his website, choicesandillusions.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Join us at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival, February 13th through 16th at the LAX Hilton, 5711 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles. We are bringing together cutting-edge speakers including David Icke, Sonia Hoquette, celebrity and musician David Carradine, Danyon Brinkley, George Norrie, Sean David Morton, Vashali, and many more. Visit www.consciouslifeexpo.com. or call the box office 800-367-5777 for discounted tickets.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and our telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the toll-free numbers you can call in to, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And for those of you in Canada, the second number is available for you as well. Well, I had so many different odds and ends of different items that I wanted to share with you today. A little bit about science, a little bit about odd things that typically we're not aware of. And also, I wanted to encourage you, if you are a first-time listener, give me a call, and I will be able to give you insights about yourself. I tell people I'm an information resource, so you have the opportunity for free to be able to chat with me on the air. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Let me tell you what I perceive, and then after that, you can ask me a question about anything that you like. Well, I came across some information regarding a white mushroom. Now, white mushrooms, we see them in the store all the time, but could you imagine one being 27 inches tall and weighing 41 pounds? Can you imagine something that size in your yard? Well, I know up here in the Pacific Northwest, our very environment is conducive to mushrooms, and you'll see them. They're all kinds of colors. And I know there are the mushroom hunters of the world that just love to be in the Pacific Northwest because of all the varieties we have. When I came across this particular mushroom and saw the picture of the guy that's holding it, it is huge. I mean, I don't know how many people it would have fed, but it would have been a lot. It was growing near a coffee farm in Chiapas, southern Mexico, and this was found in 2007. And this is a particular specimen, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this correctly. It's Macrocybe. I think that's the name of the mushroom, and they are known to be giants, but this one had grown to be more than double the usual size. It's absolutely huge. And there are so many things that occur in nature that unless you're out and about in a garden or you're working, you're just not aware about how much is going on right under your nose. We have some friends that are avid mushroom collectors, and underneath our deck in our backyard, there's a land area that slopes. And one day we were out underneath the deck, and we typically don't go underneath the deck. We just don't do it. There's nothing there for us to go under for. But we went under one day, and we found this huge grouping of mushrooms. So we called our friend David, and he came over, and he said, "Oh, wow, these are really great for cooking." And my husband and I said, "Well, help yourself," because you hear tales about people getting poisoned with mushrooms. Well, David took them home, and he evaluated them. He said, "Do you know how fortunate you are? You have all of these mushrooms that were growing underneath the deck." And he said, "They were just delicious when we fixed them for dinner." I said, "Well, I'm so glad you enjoyed them. But now they're not growing there." And mushrooms give off millions and millions of spores when they open up. So you just never know where you're going to find them. But changes in environment will affect mushroom growth. And we've seen them sometimes to be as big as a dinner plate. So it's really something to see. But this one was just absolutely amazing. So I thought I'd share that little tidbit with you. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. Or Canadians, 888-815-9756. Well, as I said, I wanted to share some information with you about some things that go on in science. And in today's world, the U.S. is not number one when it comes to education, and we have fallen back, but I'll tell you, there are still those bright, bright, intelligent people, regardless of where they are, that stand out. And one of them is Terrence Dow. He's a mathematician, and he is at the University of California in Los Angeles. Now, this young man is considered to be one of the great mathematicians on the planet. And they said many of the mathematicians of our era, the great ones, have scored a perfect 800 on the math section of their SAT test. Well, he did a 760 when he was 8 years old. Yes, the brain was already well equipped in this young man. Now, he's now 33, and he is one of the most esteemed mathematicians in our country. And in 1999, he became UCLA's youngest professor at the age of 24 and later won the 2006 Fields Medal, which is considered the Nobel Prize of Math. Now, what has been amazing is that many times people of his level of genius, I guess that's what you would say, they'll spend a lifetime working on a single problem. However, that's not been the case with this young man. He has made major contributions to all kinds of categories, ranging from nonlinear equations to number theory, and he's constantly asked to be a problem solver. So this is something that if you have a youngster, if you know of anybody that really has a natural acumen, whether it's in math or science or anything, music, encourage them. Don't make a statement to someone, if they want to be a forensic pathologist, for heaven's sakes, encourage them, because you never know where they're going to go in their lives and in their journey. I think sometimes we actually handicap people because we'll say, "Now, you're not being practical. You need to understand certain things." And it's like the attitude of, do it my way or the highway. Well, you never know. We have a very good friend whose daughter ended up going into a liberal arts college. And this young woman knew she loved music and she loved sports. Little did she realize that she had a talent with photography. This is a young woman in her early 20s who was taking photographs that people, when they would see them, would just gasp at their beauty. She just had this natural knack. If you are in a spot in your life, I don't care what they're saying on the news, I don't care what's going on, if you really love what you do, if you really, really have a hobby that means so much to you, then become really good at that hobby. Do it so well that people will seek you out because you are the best at what you do. And one day, like one gentleman I met a few years ago, you're going to be recognized and awarded the recognition that you should have because you have given time, effort, and energy to what you love. I'm speaking of a man who carved duck decoys. When I saw the work that this man did, it was absolutely amazing. That wooden duck that he carved, you would swear was going to come alive in your hands. It was so elegantly, elegantly done. He was a butcher. He was cutting meat, serving up sausages and liver and whatever else a butcher will serve up. And that's how he made his living. But he'd go home and he'd go into his shop and he'd work on those wooden decoys. After a while, he was attending trade shows and different events where he could put his birds up on display. People started begging him to make them for them. So he started getting commissions, and eventually he was doing it full time. But he loved it. He really loved it. And this young man, Terrence Dow, loves math. He absolutely loves it. And he loves problem solving. He just thinks it's the greatest way to spend his day. But he said, you know, when it comes to dealing with problems, the best way I know how to break them down is to take them into little tiny manageable parts. And he said, if there is something that I should know how to do but don't, it really bothers me. I feel like I have to sit down and work out exactly what the problem is and what steps I need to do or to take to correct whatever that problem might be. This young man is very wise for his years, and he's also extremely, extremely capable of working with larger situations, but he's just like the rest of us. He says, I still have my problems. I still have my challenges. So if you know of anyone, I'll go back full circle with what I was saying right at the beginning. If you know of anyone that has talent, and think of yourself first. What is it that when you do it, you're just absolutely thrilled? And it just makes you feel good all over. Well, if you do what you really love to do, don't put it down. If someone puts down what you do and they said, oh, that's the stupidest thing, look, that's their problem. It's not your problem. You let them deal with their limited thinking. You move on with where you want to be and with what you want to do and make a difference in this world. We need all kinds of people. My husband and I went to see a friend at a restaurant yesterday. And this is a woman that took back a business that she had worked with very successfully for 25 years. After 8 years of retirement, she came back to rejuvenate the business because it was literally going in the toilet. She comes back. Not only has she attracted some very good people to work with her, but she has a woman that is assisting in the restaurant who is 75 years old. Now, this woman that bought this, she actually owned the restaurant. She said, this lady never misses a day of work. She's always cheery. She introduced her to us. She said she is so dependable. 75. I looked at her. I would never have known she was 75 years old because she's about and she's moving. And it was a demonstration of how everyone, every job is significant. There's no such thing as an insignificant person, only if you think you are. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And give me a buzz if you want to chat. 877-876-5227-888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me. Interested in UFOs, the paranormal, predictions, prophecies, and psychics? Then join us along with David Icke, Sean David Morton, Jim Mars, Richard Hoagland, Danyon Brinkley, Sonia Coquette, and many more at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo and Film Festival, February 13th to 16th at the LAX Hilton. Call the box office at 1-800-367-5777 or visit ConsciousLifeExpo.com for more information and discounted tickets.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. You just heard the mention of the Conscious Life Expo that's going to be occurring in February, and I'm going to be there at a booth, so if you're in the Los Angeles area, I do hope you'll come by and say hello. I'm going to be at booth number 537, and I'm going to be speaking Friday evening, and this is an opportunity for me to interact with you. I'll be doing many consultations. I will have my children's books and a couple of other publications with me, so do stop by and say hello. Again, it'll be booth number 537. Now, I want to let you know who we've got coming on the show this week. We've got a great lineup of people. Do you believe in conspiracy theories? Well, there's quite a few members of my family that do, and Jim Mars is a man you're going to want to listen to. His book is called Above Top Secret, and it's fascinating stuff. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking with Sebastian Copeland about Antarctica. This is when I wish I could be on television, because the photography in this book is absolutely spectacular. And of course, for those of you that have known me for a long time, you know how much I love the far north, and Alaska has always been very special to me. But Antarctica, well, that's got a magic all of its own. Also, Power Animal Meditations, Nikki Scully is going to be my guest. I happened to see a portion of Dancing with Wolves last night with so much emotion. I thought, wow, we've got this interview coming up. What an amazing timing, a sense of timing there. Kevin Costner was playing the lead in that movie. And then we're going to be talking with Catherine Clark about The Chickadee and the Whale. This is a children's book, but oh, what a wonderful story it is. So we've got a great lineup of people. And I hope that you'll tell your friends and that you'll remember to stay tuned and to listen to the show so you don't miss any of these special people. Excuse me. By the way, I have a recipe here for some rosemary carrot muffins, and if I have a chance, I'm going to give it to you. But if not, I'll share it another time. Anyway, I wanted to tell you this story about Christy, who is an amazing woman. She had survived a circumstance that lots of times people don't think they would ever be able to come out of. She was in the right place at the right time. She was a nurse. She found that after she fell to the floor, they called a code blue, and she had no pulse. They suspected she was going to have brain damage. All of her associates were really in shock because this is one of their own that they're having to give emergency care to. They used a defibrillator. Nothing worked. They did it after six times, and they said, "We're not going to give up on her. We know she's a fighter. Let's keep going." So the entire team kept working on her. She didn't respond for 1 hour. However, at 62 minutes, without any oxygen, they decided they were going to drop her body temperature to try to slow the damage to her organs and to minimize brain damage. They put her on ice, literally, and after 72 hours, she was there. She squeezed her fiancé's hand. Now, the doctors warned him that she may not recognize anyone. But Christy came back. No brain damage. She was able to do all the exercises they asked her to do with a magnetic board that had colorful letters on it. She was able to do everything. And they cannot figure out why she collapsed. The only thing they could think of is that she had contracted a type of flu. And she'd gone through it about 2 months before this event. But it must have damaged her heart. Now, what they found they could do for her was put in a pacemaker, and there was an internal defibrillator that was installed. However, after they brought her back and they couldn't figure out why this happened, all of her body's organs inside started reversing themselves from failure. She had no brain damage at all. The doctors are totally clueless as to what happened and why her body responded the way that it did. Now, her fiancé said, "I don't want to go through this again." So he asked her again to marry him, and of course she said she would. And she is busy working today. She's perfectly normal, but she said, "You know what? I look at every day as being a miracle, and I want to leave each one to the fullest." So hats off to the medical team that would not give up. They don't know why she came back as she did, but she did. And it's stories like that that always give us that option of hope. Donna Siebel here. Let me give you quickly the recipe for this rosemary carrot muffins. I don't know about you, but I just think having muffins in the morning are just absolutely fabulous. This is what you're going to need. You're going to need a cup of currants, 1.5 cups of boiling water, 1/2 cup of olive oil, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 cup whole wheat flour. You need 2/3 cup of sugar, 2 teaspoons of baking soda, 2 teaspoons of crushed dried rosemary, and 2 cups of grated carrots. Now, if you want, you can reduce the flavoring to 1 teaspoon and add an additional 1/4 teaspoon of salt. This is how simple it is. 375 degrees, preheat your oven. And you want to spray 12 muffin cups with your nonstick spray. Now, in one small bowl, you put your currants, the boiling water, the olive oil, and your vanilla. Put that to the side. In a larger bowl, you put your flour, your sugar, your baking soda, your rosemary. Make a well in the center of the dry ingredients. Add your wet liquids, stirring until moistened. Fold in your carrots until they're well blended. And then put it in your muffin cups, bake for 20 to 25 minutes. Yum. Really good. That might be real good with lamb or something like that. Well, my goodness, we're all out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is opportunity to be the best you possibly can be. Remember that. You're pretty special. I think so, anyway. This is Donna Sebo. We'll see you here right at bbsradio.com. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.